Denial continues to run through Cairo tonight. On the upside, this is what democracy looks like. Hey, welcome America. Welcome truth seekers from coast to coast and around the globe tonight. It is I, Brad Friedman. Once again, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and apparently target tonight, as we learn in some breaking news, which we will cover this evening, target of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce as part of a $2 million disinfo campaign, discrediting campaign. Why would they want to go after me? Well, stay tuned tonight, guys. We will be covering all of that. We will also be joined a bit later by the great cartoonist, one of my favorites in the whole wide world, Tom Tomorrow. He of this modern world. Just love Tom Tomorrow. We're going to momentarily get to the latest in Egypt with Lisa Hajar, but I need to set up some business here. Our phone numbers tonight will be 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Oh, did I say we're in for the Malloys? If I didn't, it's only because there's so damn much breaking news. Yes, we are in for Mike Malloy tonight and tomorrow. They are still out on the Caribbean somewhere, cruising about, and they will, however, be back. It's a progressive cruise. They're out there with a bunch of progressives. They'll be back, however, on Monday. Never fear. Until then, you got me, and I hope that's okay. All right, our phone number is 877-520-1150. As I said, write it down. You're going to want them, because you're going to want to participate tonight. These are your public airwaves. Please remember to use them before you lose them more than you already have, before the Chamber of Commerce, those bastards, take the rest of them. You can also join the chat tonight at bradblog.com, where we have an always lively chat room already up and underway. Just go to bradblog.com, and at the very top there, you'll see the top item. You can click through it. You can find the chat room and say hello to Desi Doyen and, excuse me, and For Earth, who are both hostessing, moderating that chat room for your chatting pleasure. We can also be reached via the Twitters at The Brad Blog. That's it. Okay. I think all the business is out of the way. And if you want to get an advance sneak peek at this unbelievable attack that's going on, that has been uncovered at least from the Chamber of Commerce, you can go get a preview of that tonight at bradblog.com. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. But first, we want to get to this latest breaking news now coming out of Egypt. It's been a hell of a day there with, as you may have heard, Hosni Mubarak was rumored to be on his way out today. Last week, I promised that before the Malloys got back, I'd get Mubarak out of there. But I have yet to succeed, and so this afternoon or this morning, when it looked like he was going to make his speech, that he looked like he was going to go, he then showed up and said, no, I'm not really going. In fact, I'm going to stay here, but I'll put the vice president in charge and I'll just hang around. Hey, Hosni, they're just not that into you. Talk about can't take a hint. So the situation is increasing now in numbers on the ground, in people on the ground, in volatility. Tomorrow there may be another, they're talking about another march on the presidential palace, We'll see if that comes to be. We'll be keeping our eyes on it, of course, as the sun rises over the next few hours in Egypt. But first, let's go for the latest news and to learn what we can from Lisa Hajar, a professor in the sociology department at the University of California, Santa Barbara. She's also co-editor of the new news journal, Jedalia. Jedalia, okay.
Right. Although we did just make a shorter name for people hearing it on the radio, they can find it at jadmagazine.com.
Smartly done. I was going to
we
complain.
Did that yesterday.
Good thinking, yeah, because I said, oh boy, I'm going to have to spell this out. Jadmagazine.com. Okay, Lisa, I know you've got a specific focus here on Omar Suleiman. You wrote an article recently about the CIA's man in Cairo and Egypt's torturer-in-chief. But before we get to the specifics about Omar Suleiman and what kind of fella this is, what are you hearing from your folks, your sources on the ground in Egypt tonight? Where is this thing headed? Any idea?
Well, I've been actually on Facebook and email with a lot of folks, and there's a lot of speculation about why things happened as they did. Clearly, nobody knows really what's going on. One speculation that seems persuasive is that the military itself, I mean, the head of the military is a man by the name of Tantawi. He and Suleiman have long been rivals, and so some people were speculating that the military didn't want Mubarak to leave the country because they didn't want, I mean, while Suleiman will be exercising mm-hmm. the powers of the president, they didn't want him to actually fully fill out the, you know, authoritarian role as a, you know, as a way of just sustaining the problems that have led to the protest. Yeah. So I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's how Egypt watchers are speculating.
Well, are they seeing Suleiman, even if, I mean, the thing that keeps occurring to me, even if Mubarak left tomorrow, if you've got Suleiman in charge, even for this transition, is that something that the people of Cairo, the folks on the ground in Egypt, are going to accept Lisa Hajar, even as a transitional figure?
No, I mean, in fact, the demands today coming out of Tahrir Square were that the whole regime would have to go, and people were chanting, no Mubarak, no Suleiman. The interesting thing about Suleiman, just in terms of what's happened lately, not a lot of Egyptians knew a lot about Suleiman. I mean, you know, Americans probably don't know a lot about Leon Panetta, who's the head of the CIA. I mean,
right.
Only when he was sort of rocketed into the public limelight 3 weeks ago when he was anointed vice president. And one thing what we can say about Suleiman is the more Egyptians get to know him, the less they like him. And so, and you know, he's behaved in a very patronizing and clearly authoritarian manner
mm-hmm.
since he sort of stepped in to be the face of the regime over the last several weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's what I wonder about. I wonder if, it seems like, and they're doing this, they're drawing this out. I see no other way for this to go other than for Mubarak to leave. But I wonder, you know, when he leaves, there's going to be a great roar. They're going to be delighted if and when this happens. But they're still going to be stuck with Suleiman. So give us an idea, Lisa Hajar, just who this Omar Suleiman is and why it is that it seems the United States and Barack Obama, his administration, was very willing to accept this character as a transitional figure.
Well, Suleiman has been, he's known to the Americans for decades. I mean, his career has come up through the military. He trained at Fort Bragg, the military officers' school in Fort Bragg in the 1980s. Then in 1993, he was appointed to be the head of the Egyptian General Intelligence Services, which is like the American CIA. However, it actually is a branch of the military. So he's retained his military, position as a general. The Egyptian, the General Intelligence Services has been functioning mainly as, for international and particularly security types of issues. And since the mid-1990s, when al-Qaeda really starts, turning its attention to the Arab regimes and to the West, attacks in Egypt, in Africa, et cetera, under Bill Clinton, Clinton at the time devised what was then the rendition program, and did so in very close cooperation with Egypt, and specifically and personally with Suleiman as the head of Egyptian intelligence.
And in short, Lisa, we were renditioning folks there, rendering them, I know, at least 40, and I don't know if it was all under Bush or as Bush and Clinton. We were sending out to Egypt, out to Suleiman, who oversaw this program for us, for the CIA, this what turned out to be a torture program on our behalf, correct?
That's correct. The Clinton, under the rendition program under Clinton, it was not explicitly for torture. It was for the purpose of trial. And so some people, for example, Islamic jihadists who were Egyptians and had fled to Albania, to give one example, in the 1990s were kidnapped by the CIA and sent back to Egypt for trial. So it was the for trial component that distinguished the Clinton from then in the war on terror, when President Bush authorized the CIA to begin its extraordinary rendition program in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. That involved, kidnapping people and either, sending them to CIA black sites or to third countries where, for torture by proxy. And in that regard, Egypt was the primary, not certainly not the only destination, but the primary destination for extraordinary rendition cases. So as you said, an unknown number, but certainly in the several dozen, ended up in Egypt, including a few very high-profile cases.
And I've just got a minute or two left here, but Suleiman himself, he wasn't just the head of the torture program in Egypt. He actually participated actively in this torture. Did he not?
He did, indeed. There's one case that's become infamous now, of the case of Mamdou Habib, who's an Egyptian-born Australian citizen who was in Pakistan, was arrested by the Pakistanis, became an immediate person of interest to the CIA. They sent him to Habib to Egypt. The presumption at that time was anybody who wasn't Pakistani or Afghani and who was in Afghanistan or Pakistan was presumptively a terrorist. And so the CIA was in touch, and Suleiman, Habib was electrocuted, hung by his wrists, many brutal tactics. And at one point, one of the people torturing him hit him so hard that his blindfold dislodged, and he saw his tormentor, and it was, in fact, Suleiman himself.
Mm, good Lord. Is there a concern, Lisa, that if both Obama and Suleiman leave, is there a concern by the U.S.? Because I've noticed...
You mean Mubarak and Suleiman.
Who did I say?
Obama.
Oh, man. Oops. If Mubarak and Suleiman leave, because I've noticed that Obama has, not out and out said, hey, Mubarak, you got to go. Hey, Suleiman, you got to go. Is there any concern in the U.S. That if those two characters go, if the people really do take over, that, they might expose what went on, what Suleiman did, and on whose behalf he was doing it? In other words, he was doing it on behalf of the U.S. We know that Obama, because of WikiLeaks, we know that Obama has attempted to protect the Bush administration in the past in Spain concerning torture issues. Is this something that could come up in Egypt if the people really do take over?
Oh, absolutely. And in some ways, one has to, at least I would say that one should interpret the Obama administration's position towards Suleiman, which has constantly been behind the ball on how the news is breaking on these issues, is a part of a larger problem of being committed to unaccountability for the torture of our own previous administration.
Yeah.
And Suleiman himself was implicated in, at least there's some kind of a connection between him and the so-called suicide of the person whose false tortured confession in Egypt was used by the Bush administration to justify the Iraq war.
We're talking about Al-Libi, who was Al-Libi who was found suicided, we'll say, in Libya,
right.
I guess.
Shortly after Human Rights Watch representatives discovered him in a Libyan prison. It was Suleiman flew to Libya, and as Suleiman's plane was returning back to Cairo, that was when Al-Libi suddenly mysteriously committed suicide.
Oh, man. This is what happens when you don't have accountability. They're finally getting some in Egypt. I wonder if we'll ever get any here in the U.S. Lisa Hajar, please check out her article, Omar Suleiman, the CIA's man in Cairo and Egypt's torturer-in-chief. It'll help you understand where we may be headed from here. You can get there and read it at jadmagazine.com. Really appreciate you jumping in here tonight for us, Lisa.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night.
You too.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we will be keeping our eye on the situation in Egypt, in Tahrir Square, as the evening progresses, as the sun rises over the next few hours. If there's anything breaking there, we will let you know right here on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman, in for Mike. Big show ahead. Stay with us. Yeah, it's been one of those days. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We're running a little bit late, so this will be a very tight segment. I had to shuffle things around about three or four different times today with all the breaking news, first coming out of Egypt, and then the story we're about to get to next, and this attack on folks like me and other fine progressives, Glenn Greenwald and so forth, by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I had hoped to have Frank Heindel on tonight. I will have him tomorrow. One of my newest heroes, Frank Heindel, after the election, the Democratic primary out in South Carolina, where somehow or another Alvin Green managed to win the nomination for the U.S. Senate on their 100% unverifiable touchscreen machines. Frank Heindel, a citizen, a businessman, and a Republican, got busy, started burying the South Carolina Election Commission with the Freedom of Information Act requests, public records requests, getting information from those voting machines, what went wrong, has since found thousands of votes missing, thousands of extra votes that showed up out of nowhere, thousands of errors on these machines. We're going to talk to him for sure tomorrow. You can get more info until then at scvotinginfo.com. Coming up next, the U.S. Chamber is at it again with your tax dollars attacking yours truly. Why? We'll find out. Brad in for Malloy.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side.
Not petrified at all. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Fearlessly calling out the liars and sons of bitches who are using your tax dollars to target good people, American citizens, private organizations, and yes, people like me, your friendly citizen investigative blogger. This is just an amazing story, and I'm just going back and forth here with Empty Wheel, Marcy Wheeler on Twitter about this even as we speak. The fact that, yes, this is tax dollar, taxpayer money that goes to these big corporations like AIG, like Bank of America, goes to them through bailouts. And then it goes to the Chamber of Commerce because they're members of the Chamber of Commerce. Or it's ExxonMobil, who receives, you know, millions and millions, if not billions, in taxpayer subsidies for their companies. And then that money goes to the Chamber of Commerce. What does the Chamber of Commerce do with that money? Well, we're learning a whole lot today. All right, let me see if I can unpack this for you tonight. This is remarkable. Last night we had a caller to the show late in the show, Rain from, I think, from West Virginia, who had called in to tip me off to some emails that revealed that this company, this name of this company is H.B. Gary Federal, H.B. Gary Federal, that had been hired by Bank of America to this company, H.B. Gary Federal. They're they call it an intelligent private security corporation, an intelligence data corporation. And apparently they had given a proposal to Bank of America on how they could attack WikiLeaks and how they could discredit WikiLeaks. And among the things that they would do, and there was a number of firms, not just H.B. Gary, by the way, Palantir and Barrico Technologies. They would. Well, here's some of the email that we discovered that was meant to attack Glenn Greenwald, saying that he was critical. Glenn Greenwald, he's a writer at Salon. He was critical in the Amazon to OVH transition, talking about how Amazon had dropped WikiLeaks when Amazon had been their server. It is this level of support that needs to be disrupted. They needed to disrupt Glenn Greenwald. And there's a PowerPoint presentation here. These are established professionals that have a liberal bent, but ultimately most of them, if pushed, will choose professional preservation over cause. Such is the mentality of most business professionals. Without the support of people like Glenn, WikiLeaks would fold. And it goes on to talk about a disinformation campaign that could be run. All kinds of information. All right. So where did we get this information that this group was going to attack Glenn Greenwald, was going to attack WikiLeaks? Well, we got it because word got out about these groups and that they were going to attack WikiLeaks. And so the hacktivist group known as Anonymous, you may remember, we've talked about them on this show before. Anonymous actually went after and hacked Visa and MasterCard and Amazon and took them down when they stopped serving WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, an organization which has broken no crimes, has broken no laws, has committed no crimes, has been charged with no crimes. So this group, Anonymous, has taken their side. Well, word got out that these groups, H.B. Gary, Federal, and so forth, were targeting WikiLeaks. So what did Anonymous do? They targeted H.B. Gary, and they actually went in, they hacked their Twitter page, and they put all kinds of stuff on their Twitter page. They hacked their web servers and got all kinds of emails, 40,000 of these emails, at least. Other reports say 60,000, and released them all on the web. Well, folks have been crawling through these emails, and here's what we learned tonight from Think Progress, from Lee Fong over there. He writes, Think Progress has learned that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the big business trade association representing ExxonMobil, AIG, and other major international corporations, is working with sets of private security companies and lobbying firms to undermine their political opponents, including Think Progress, with a surreptitious sabotage campaign. According to emails obtained by Think Progress, the chamber hired the lobbying firm Hunton and Williams to spearhead this effort. Hunton and Williams attorney Richard Wyatt, who once represented Food Lion in its infamous lawsuit against ABC News, was hired by the chamber in October of last year. To assist the chamber, Wyatt and his associates, John Woods and Bob Quackenboss, hired a set of private security firms, H.B. Gary Federal, Palantir, and Barrico Technologies, collectively called Team Themis, to develop tactics for damaging progressive groups and labor unions, in particular Think Progress, the labor called Change to Win, the SEIU, U.S. Chamber Watch, and StopTheChamber.com. Now, full disclosure, StopTheChamber.com is a campaign of a group called VelvetRevolution.us, co-founded by yours truly. At least by bradblog.com. We were very early calling out the Chamber of Commerce for the criminal behavior of their CEO, Tom Donahue, calling for accountability against this organization. This lobbying group is all they are. I know that U.S. Chamber of Commerce sounds like they're something official. No, they're not official at all. They are a right-wing lobbyist group, period. And they have been targeting efforts at climate change legislation. They were targeting efforts at real health care reform. That's what these guys do. Incredibly, Barack Obama spoke to them this week. But in any case, moving beyond that, StopTheChamber.com is a campaign of Velvet Revolution U.S., VelvetRevolution.us, which, as I say, I am one of the co-founders. Back to Think Progress here. According to one document prepared by Team Themis, the campaign included an entrapment project. The proposal called for first creating a, quote, false document, perhaps highlighting periodical financial information, unquote, to give a progressive group opposing the chamber and then to subsequently expose the document as a fake to undermine the credibility of the chamber's opponents. In addition, the group proposed creating a fake insider persona to generate communications with Change to Win. Change to Win had set up the group called U.S. Chamber Watch. So here is a here's some of the information from one of the documents that was taken from Team Thesis by this hacktivist group called Anonymous and posted online. Here was the scheme that they were planning and perhaps even pulled off. At this point, we don't know. I don't recall getting any false documents to my knowledge, but here we go. Part of this document said, as their plan to discredit progressives, create a false document, perhaps highlighting periodical financial information, and monitor to see if U.S. Chamber Watch acquires it. Afterwards, present explicit evidence proving that such transactions never occurred. Also, create a fake insider persona and generate communications with Change to Win. With Change to Win. Afterward, release the actual documents at a specified time and explain the activity as a Change to Win contrived operation. Both instances will prove that U.S. Chamber Watch cannot be trusted with information and or tell the truth. So they were going to set them up, put out fake documents, purposely give them to them, wait for them to release them, and then come out with the real documents and say, see, Change to Win, U.S. Chamber Watch, they falsified documents. This was the plan that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was either considering or actually did. All right, the document goes on. Connect U.S. Chamber Watch's radical tactics to Velvet Revolution. Again, that's our group. Velvet Revolution, explaining that both entities are loosely operating together. Well, we're not. Depending on the level of connection established, such an approach may need to be spotlighted as more of a conspiracy rather than a separate vocal persona. So they are going to call out a fake conspiracy against them. The document continues. If needed, create two fake insider personas, using one as a leverage to discredit the other while confirming the legitimacy of the second. Such work is complicated, but a well-thought-out approach will give way to a variety of strategies that can sufficiently aid the formation of vetting questions U.S. Chamber Watch will likely ask. The security firm who put that together had hoped to obtain $200,000 for that initial background research and then charge up to $2 million for a larger disinformation campaign against progressives. You see how it works? First, Bank of America was hiring this group to go against their enemies, who they saw as Glenn Greenwald, a journalist at Salon, and the group WikiLeaks, the media group WikiLeaks. They were going to hire these guys. the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was going to hire these guys to go after me. And I, by the way, I've been told, I haven't combed through all 60,000 emails yet, but I'm told my name comes up in these emails. I can't confirm that yet, but that's what I'm told. All of this being done, of course, whether it's courtesy of the Bank of America, whether it's courtesy of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, being done with your tax dollars. Remember that bailout to Bank of America? Billions and billions of dollars. They also, of course, Bank of America, are members of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, along with many other corporations who have received your tax dollars through tax subsidies, through bailouts, and they are targeting progressives. They are trying to discredit guys like Glenn Greenwald, guys like me, organizations who are out there, organizations like Acorn. Gosh, I wonder how they got so discredited. Or Velvet Revolution. I wonder if this 200,000 or this 2 million went to this hit piece that Fox News ran against Velvet Revolution about a year ago that resulted in unbelievable death threats coming our way. I'll read you some of those death threats when we get back. These, of course, are the folks that Barack Obama spoke to earlier this week. But when you wonder, you know, how this happens, and when you hear about these discredited groups, oh, they're lefty, they're revolutionaries, they're radicals. Where does this come from? There are groups, there are organizations, private organizations, that make their living putting out BS to discredit people. Because it's good for their bottom line. Because it's good for profits, for business, putting profits over people. That's what these un-American groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce do. Brad, in from Malloy.
Riders of the storm, into this house we're born.
Yeah, and if the U.S. Chamber of Commerce doesn't get that respect, they'll pay $2 million to get it to discredit progressive organizations. Unbelievable. We're talking for now. And, well, by the way, we're gonna we'll lighten it up a bit in the next hour. We'll be joined by Tom Tomorrow, of great cartoonist of This Modern World. He will be joining us. But continuing on with this breaking news today, you can get more information, obviously, at bradblog.com on these 40,000 or 60,000 emails that have been released now from the Chamber of Commerce that were stolen by the group Anonymous and posted on the web and show all kinds of attacks on progressives that these insidious beasts at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce were willing to do, apparently. About a year ago, just over a year ago, December of 2009, out of nowhere, Fox News, we wrote about this at the time at BradBlog, Fox News ran a hit piece on the StopTheChamber.com campaign. Again, that's a campaign of Velvet Revolution. I'm a co-founder of Velvet Revolution. They ran a hit piece claiming that we had put a bounty on the head of the Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, hunted by the left. FoxNews.com splashed across their front page. And what do you know? Liberal activist group offers big money for info leading to arrest, conviction of Chamber of Commerce CEO after trade organization comes out against climate change legislation and healthcare reform. Well, the response that we got from Fox News. Now, do you suppose that this was part of their information disinformation campaign? Do you suppose anybody from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce went to their pals over at Fox News and said, hey, we need you to hit these bastards hard. Please destroy them. How much will it cost us? We're happy to pay. We got $2 million at least to pay for this crap. Fox News delivered. And in kind, in came the death threats. In came the attacks. Accusations that we are Nazis, that we are communists. Here's just some of the emails we'll receive. We received. I'll have to edit them for radio. Leave the U.S. Chamber of Commerce alone. This is the only warning you will receive, said one email that we received. Another, you will be confronted and stopped. I am quite probably a member of the fastest, actually he said the fasting growing group that is your direct enemy. You are all on borrowed time. The real revolution will come to those soon. You pieces of blank should all be effing burned at the stake. These are all different emails, mind you, that we received after Fox News ran their hit piece on us at the behest of the Chamber of Commerce. I don't make threats. I only promises. You better back the hell off, said another. Another said, be careful what you ask for. Another said, bounty on your head. Beware. Another said, all I can say is go F your mother. What a pathetic left-wing org this is, run by, wait for it, MFers. This goes on and on and on and on. If you want to read more of that, you can look back at our story, go to Brad Blog and look up Fox News death threats. They go on and on and on. Mission accomplished, apparently, by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Or maybe, what do I know? Maybe just Fox News decided to run that story. They didn't do it at the behest of U.S. Chamber of Commerce, did they? And all of those email threats that we received, they weren't from any of these groups. HB Gary Federal, Palantir, Barrico Technologies. Those people who were working to attack private citizens for having the temerity to be what? Progressives? To speak out, to use their freedom of speech, to attack progressive organizations like StopTheChamber.com, U.S. Chamber Watch, Think Progress, Glenn Greenwald, yours truly? This is how these people operate. And until there is accountability, until the rule of law is applied to these people, they're just begging for this place to turn into Egypt. And I swear, one of these goddamn days, it will. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Tom Tomorrow is going to cheer us all up next. Stay with us. It's worse than I thought. I don't know if you heard the last hour, but I just got some additional news about this attack that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was putting together. And yes, they were targeting me very specifically as I show up in their emails that Think Progress will be putting out redacted versions of them tonight. I believe, if they haven't already done so. But these are Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. And we're going to be going to Tom Tomorrow in a bit, very shortly. And hopefully he can cheer me up because he's funny. In the meantime, yes, one of the emails says, Brad Friedman, co-founder, has done much of the work in establishing the online presence and writing content. And they point to my Twitter page and my Facebook page, and they have date of birth and middle name and home address and all kinds of lovely people, this U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It ought to be a crime. Maybe it is. We'll find out. But you see, if you want to be a progressive, if you want to stand up for what's right in this country – then you're going to be taken on by some pretty powerful folks out there, some pretty powerful folks who are willing to spend millions and millions of our taxpayer dollars, by the way, to assault people like me and Glenn Greenwald. And I don't know why they haven't gone after my next guest, Tom Tomorrow. They should. He's much more effective than anybody else. Hang on. There we go. Okay. Get my act together. You can read more about that at bradblog.com. I'm sure I'll have more on that later tonight. And thinkprogress.org, of course, has more as well. And you know what? You know what? Please support independent media. Whether it's bradblog.com, whether it's stopthechamber.com. Frankly, whether it's Salon and Glenn Greenwald or Salon and my next guest, Tom Tomorrow, his weekly cartoon, This Modern World, of course, appears in Salon.com and approximately 80 papers across the country, such as The Village Voice, San Francisco Bay Guardian, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If it doesn't appear in your hometown independent paper, then call them and complain, because it should. He is one of the great ones. He has been unflinching over these past nightmarish years, 8 years of Bush, 2 years of Barack Obama. And he now has a new book, Too Much Crazy, following on the heels of his children's book recently, The Very Silly Mayor. Tom Tomorrow joins us now. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Brad.
Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. You catch me on a great night. I'm in a great mood.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Can you tell?
Seems like you're trying to stir up trouble for me.
Yeah. Why haven't you gone after Tomorrow, people? Well, you know what? There's 60,000 of those emails that have been hacked and released now, and your name's got to be in there somewhere, Tom.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there's stuff going on all the time. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
This is kind of a longstanding, not to dive into Glenn Beck territory here, but I have this longstanding theory that probably half the comments, half the anonymous comments you read online are people who are like your Chamber of Commerce friends, people
yeah.
who have ulterior motives other than you know. I have seen it play out in very obvious ways on Salon and elsewhere, but I suspect this sort of thing goes on all the time.
Well, you see it. You see people say, oh, these are paid trolls in the comment threads and everything else. But I mean, this is some of the amazing stuff that is coming out of these emails now that we have at Bradblog. Think Progress has it. It's very specific, you know, create a false document, get it to these people, and then put out another one and claim that they lied about it and that they falsified it. I mean, incredibly detailed stuff.
It's the triumph of privatization. It used to be the FBI and COINTELPRO that had to do this sort of thing. Now private corporations have taken up the slack. This is capitalism at work, Brad. It's a triumph of privatization.
Yeah, and I must hate America if I'm against it, now that I think about it. Man.
Exactly.
Well, listen, brother. All right. Well, Too Much Crazy indeed. Now, is this is the new book a collection of the columns? What do you write?
Cartoons.
Panels. Collection of your panels over recent years?
Yeah, it is the past 2 years. Basically runs through the campaign and mm-hmm. through the election and the first year and change of Obama's presidency.
Did you find once Obama came into office that it got easier to be a satirical cartoonist or harder to be a satirical cartoonist?
Well, I think there's always a period of adjustment with especially when the when parties hand over power. But it's never, I mean, I've been doing this a while now. I did this all through the Clinton years. And, you know, when people say, oh, thank goodness, now a Democrat has been elected and there will be no more need for cartoons, I have generally found this not to be the case.
And luckily so. I imagine that with the rise of the teabaggers, in many ways, this stuff must just get easier and easier in some sense.
Well, you know, know, this is kind of the paradox because, or maybe I'm just self-sabotaging, but if it seems too easy, then I suspect it.
Mm.
and I sort of deliberately don't always take the easy bait.
Right.
Although I concede that I've had plenty of fun with the Tea Party.
Yeah, and I notice, speaking of easy bait, I notice that you spend a lot of time watching Glenn Beck, Tom. I follow your Twitters very closely.
Yeah, you know, I work at home, and the TV's right there, and the radio, and he is a fascinating character. He really is.
And I believe you had said today. Well, oh no, I already forgot the tweets. I was thrown off by what you said, but he was going for broke today.
He was weapons grade crazy today. I'm sure there will be clips on. I'm sure there are clips up already. But the thing with Glenn Beck, I mean, honestly, if I had to spend as much time saying, I'm not crazy, they all think I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy, you know, that's about half of his show most days. And you know, if I had to spend that much time saying that, it would give me pause. I would start to wonder. I guess you have to admire his single-mindedness. But, yeah, no, he's been on a roll. I'm not the only person to have noted this, but ever since situation in Egypt blew up, he's had and this is a man who's had some pretty extraordinary theories to begin with.
Right.
So, you know, the bar was not set low to begin with, but I don't know. Apparently, there's a gigantic worldwide conspiracy with the Muslim Brotherhood and Code Pink and Bill Ayers and it's in order to
Acorn. I heard that Acorn was involved in the uprising. Yes.
In Paris or something. I mean, and you know how much just sort of natural sympathy left-leaning people like you and me have for a right-wing religious dictatorship.
Right.
That's the thing that always puzzles me. But, you know, the thing with Beck.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember a few years back when all the right-wing bloggers suddenly dug up this obscure professor named Ward Churchill?
Oh, yes, they do.
And played him up as if he were the leader of the left. You know,
right.
That's what Beck does all the time. He pulls people out of total obscurity. People, you know, with all due respect, I had never heard of Saul Alinsky or Francis Fox Pippen until Glenn Beck brought them up. And that may just be my own shortcomings.
I never heard of them.
They seem to be very smart people, what have you. But they were not on my radar. They were not part of my life. You know, my point being, I mean, I've got this cartoon out there. I do this thing in public.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a vast left-wing conspiracy, somebody, you know, they forgot to tell the cartoonist. You know?
You know, the cartoonists are always the last to learn. They never get invited to the meetings.
If there's all this Soros money floating around, my check got lost in the mail.
Yeah.
And I could use it.
I know. I know, because you're fighting like hell as these, and we're going to talk about it. We've got to take a break here shortly, but we'll talk about this when we come back after the break, because you're fighting like hell with the independent media, with the newspapers shutting down.
It hasn't been a good couple of years for that. I've got to say that.
No, it hasn't. But we're going to save the day, by the way, because you came to, to our rescue when you picked up on this coverage that I was doing last year, about a year ago this time, trying to get the New York Times, the paper of record, the reliable one, after all, to retract, to correct, to apologize for their reporting on Acorn and James O'Keefe and his phony pimp stunt that they had just misreported over and over and over again. And even when the measures that I went to try to explain to them how they were wrong, to prove it to them.
Yeah, that was I don't know if you have time to go into it, but that was a really brilliant correction that they issued. What was it that he had said this, but he didn't mean they happened at the same time?
Right.
When the ombudsman said that?
Right, that because the New York Times had reported that he had dressed as a pimp and filmed Acorn workers.
But they did not specify that these things were done at
the
same time. And this was, honest to God, their not apology, but explanation.
Yes.
That was mind-boggling, and they eventually had to apologize for that because it was so stupid.
Which earned them, which earned their public editor Clark Hoyt a depiction in a Tom Tomorrow This Modern World panel as a weasel. Well done, Tom. Hang tight. I got to get to a quick break here. More with Tom Tomorrow straight ahead. And if you want to get in, if you got any thoughts or questions for Tom Tomorrow, otherwise known as Dan Perkins, 877-520-1150. We'll be back.
Maybe you'll fall in love with me, Domani. Maybe tomorrow night the sun will shine.
You see what we did there, Tom Tomorrow. We played an Italian Domani song so that we didn't have to play The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Apparently the targeted one tonight, with Tom Tomorrow, the great Tom Tomorrow, the great cartoonist of This Modern World and recent author of Too Much Crazy and the children's book, The Very Silly Mayor. We're going to try to get to some of your calls if you want to get in on this conversation, 877-520-1150. Before I get to the state of This Modern World when it comes to publishing, Tom, your children's book, what are the ages on that?
I think I wrote that when my kid was about 4 or 5. I think the best age for that is probably like between 3 and 6.
Okay, so I would love it. I'm going to try to get it. We've it's perfect. We've got links to that, of course, at bradblog.com, and I suspect over at your blog site, which is thismodernworld.com. Is it
right? That's correct.
ThisModernWorld.com. Okay, with the publishing landscape as it is, Tom, how do we help support this modern world? How do we make sure that cartoonists like you keep busy, make a living, and can continue doing the important work that you do?
That's a real good question. We're an endangered species.
I know.
And I don't know anyone who's really figured out a good answer to that. I mean, it's not as if this was ever a really stable profession to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the newspapers are all having trouble or just, frankly, making some kind of bad decisions, you know, and dropping comics.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that you can do to support the kind of work I do is to call the newspaper, if they don't, you know, your local Alt Weekly, if they've dropped my cartoon or a cartoon like mine, or they've never run it, call them and let them know that you're not happy about that, you know. But apart from that, I don't know. Buy the book.
Yes, please do buy the book. So, well, similarly, does it make any sense to call these Alt Weeklies that do run you and say, hey, we love you? Don't.
Oh yes. That. Thank you for thinking of that. That
Welcome.
Is the other very important thing. The papers that continue to run it, it's really important that they know that you appreciate it.
And Salon.com, I suspect they would appreciate the support as well.
I have run in Salon, I believe, since 1995.
So really?
I've been there a very long time.
They've been around since 95?
Possibly earlier.
Wow.
They were very early on the scene.
Wow. Let's. You want to take a quick call?
Absolutely.
Steven from Burbank, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Do you have a question or thought for Tom Tomorrow?
Yes, Brad, I do, and hello, Tom. I would just like to say that I'm glad to be on the same page with you. And this is literally, it's in the Pasadena Weekly.
Oh, great.
The 11/25/10 Security Theater Follies. And I had called Brad before this was published and said that the agents, that I would hope that they would still love me and respect me in the morning.
Are you a cartoonist, Steven?
No, I'm not. I'm just a regular jive clown out here suffering in the plebeian world.
All right. Well, good to have you on board with Tom Tomorrow in that. What's the paper again?
Pasadena Weekly.
Pasadena Weekly. All right. Thank you, brother.
Perfect harmony.
All right. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Tom, you have tweeted many times about your concern that you can't continue. And that's what, you know, I saw that and I said, oh, man, I got to get Tom on next week when I do the Malloy show. And then, of course, minutes later, you said, hey, Brad, can I come on the Tom Mike Malloy show? I said, yes, absolutely. You are an endangered species. Have you?
Well, you know, it's yeah. Like, you know, nobody's interested in, you know, me spending all my time talking about how I make a living. But it is really true that cartoonists like me have the basic support network. You syndicate out your cartoon, the papers pay you, the money adds up, you pay your bills. With the evolution of the online world, somehow the whole paying the cartoonist thing or paying anybody is getting left behind. And I hear a lot, you know, I get a lot of advice about how to make a living in the brave new world online.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly from people who aren't doing it themselves, but who want to believe that it's possible. But they want me to be the sort of guinea pig.
Yeah.
I mean, there are obviously, you know, there are always exceptions. There's always the few people who kind of carve out a niche, manage to make it work or whatever. But overall, I mean, the Huffington Post is a perfect example. Huffington Post built up this entire thing, this entire reputation.
Tom, hang on. Hold the thought on HuffPo. And I know you're on kid duty, so you can't stay much longer, but can I keep you for another 5 minutes or so after the break?
Yeah, sure.
All right, thanks, brother. Tom, tomorrow, right here on the Mike Malloy Show, I'm Brad Friedman. Stay with us. 877-520-1150 if you want to get in.
Tomorrow night, will you?
Yeah, I'll try to relax. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Tom Tomorrow of This Modern World, the great cartoonist, and I mean it, and I ain't just buttering him up. I look forward to it every week. It is the smartest comic strip going, and it has been unrelenting in its smartness and information that it gets across, cutting through all the BS out there. I mean, really good stuff. Go check it out at salon.com if you're not familiar with them, or even if you are. Okay, Tom, you were talking. We'll have you just for a few more minutes. Oh, and I should say, phone numbers, 877-520-1150. If you have a question for Tom Tomorrow, or even for me, because we're going to get on to some other topics in a bit here. Tom, you were talking about HuffPo.
Oh, yeah. Well, just in terms of, you know, the difficulty of making a living these days as an artist or writer, that's quite the example that a lot of people, got paid nothing at all to mm-hmm. write, and then a few people at the top made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, because I've been writing there at Huffington Post for years, and I haven't gotten my dividend check yet from this AOL deal.
So what's your take on it? Are you going to continue writing for them?
I don't know. I'm not currently protesting, but I don't see a lot of upside to writing there, frankly, anymore. There's other places that I would rather write that are willing to pay. Not a lot, but, you know, the UK Guardian. So I don't have a position. I'm agnostic for the moment.
Ah, all right.
So how's that for a cowardly fence-sitting position? Let's see. A Cosmic Michael in the chat room asks, where did I have it here? Oh, damn it. Oh, there we go. Question for Tom Tomorrow. Tom is from Wichita, Kansas originally. Is that true?
I was born there.
All right. Did he ever read Thomas Frank's book, What's the Matter with Kansas? And did he learn a lot about the GOP from the Kansas crazies growing up?
Well, I, as I said, I did not grow up in Kansas. I have read the Tom Frank book, but quite a few years ago at this point. But yeah. That is, I've got good Midwestern roots.
Okay, me too. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, originally. Let's get to Andy in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, Andy?
Yeah, it's great, Brad. Hey, Tom, tomorrow.
Hey.
I get you here through a local weekly.
Santa Fe Reporter.
I also subscribe to the Funny Times. And
oh, great.
That's really great because we get a whole bunch of you in that year-round that the weekly doesn't cover. But I guess, it's like there's some others out there, too. I mean, you know, Jan Sorensen and Boers and Durf. These guys appear in the Funny Times. There's a bunch of others. You're not alone in this situation.
This is absolutely true. In fact, yeah. Durf and I were both hit really hard when this one chain just decided they no longer wanted to run comics. Everybody's struggling along. Durf is currently working on a graphic novel. This is an odd but true fact about this cartoonist named Durf. It's what we're talking about, in case that's not clear. He was childhood friend of Jeffrey Dahmer and has written this long, or friend might be putting it. I've read the stuff, and friend is probably putting it strong. Jeffrey Dahmer was apparently always quite the strange guy.
I got a little something to say, and that is that my uncle was a neighbor of his and ended up, he and his wife, taking care of his cats.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my God!
Anyway,
the serial killer, small world.
Small world, yes. Yeah. Anyway, the point being, Durf has this great graphic novel coming out pretty soon, and so that's kind of what he's moving into as he moves away from the weekly cartoon. I got somewhat lucky the last couple of years doing some work for the band Pearl Jam.
I accidentally cut Andy off there.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you know, Durf has that novel. I got somewhat lucky doing some work for the band Pearl Jam that kept me busy over the last year. There's always other things out there.
Well, I was actually thinking, Tom, when you were coming on tonight, because I was like, well, how do we show Tom's cartoons on the radio somehow? your strip this week is about the Conservabots.
Right.
And I thought, I could go to that extra normal website. You know what I'm talking about? Where you punch in the numbers and they make little robot animation sounds.
No, I'm afraid.
And I thought, because of the breaking news out of Egypt, I didn't get to do it. But I thought, I bet I can make this Conservabot come to life on the air. But it made me think, have you done animation? Have you done video? Sort of thing.
No, I did a lot of animation right at the beginning of 2001. I did some work with Saturday Night Live. I met some people. I had really basically the first online animated series. The problem there, unfortunately, we were just too far ahead of the curve, and there wasn't YouTube, and not everyone had high bandwidth and what have you. So it just it was just the wrong moment for it. But if you go to my site, I've put all that stuff up on YouTube, and if you go to my site, there's a link to the animation, and it's some pretty great stuff. I still show it when I go out and give talks and so forth, and most of it holds up pretty well.
I'm going to go out and look for that, actually, after the show. Tom, tomorrow from This Modern World, I really appreciate you spending time with us tonight when you're on kid duty, I know. Go buy the book, folks, Too Much Crazy, and for children of all ages, but specifically 4, 5, or 6, The Very Silly Mayor. You can get links, of course, over at thismodernworld.com. I've also got them up at bradblog.com. And by the way, where are you based, Tom?
In New Haven.
In New Haven. You ever come out west?
I spent a lot of my life out west. I did not grow up out here.
give me a shout next time you're out in L.A. Would love to love to say hello, my friend. All right, brother. Keep up the very good and, frankly, very, very important work, and I really do mean that. So thank you for all you do, sir.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, have a great night. Tom,
okay,
tomorrow
bye-bye.
Of this he seems to have fallen down the stairs in the bargain. Tom, tomorrow of This Modern World, thismodernworld.com. Please support the independent media. I know I come on here every night and I say that, and quite often it sounds like it's self-serving because I'm independent media, but you know, forget about me. Really, forget about me. The Chamber of Commerce has millions and millions of dollars, and Rupert Murdoch has millions and millions of dollars, and they are more than happy to put out misinformation and disinformation and discredit people like me, as we've been talking about tonight, and If you'd like, you can get in. We can talk about that some more. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. But, you know, the bad guys got plenty of money. I've said many, many times, if I was a Republican, if I would, you know, if I was Ann Coulter, I mean, you know, I'd be a millionaire by now. But telling the truth isn't quite as popular when it comes to, you know, what people are willing to pay for. There are a lot of folks out there who are more than willing to put in millions of dollars, as we've seen, as you can see tonight at the Brad blog, are willing to put in millions of dollars to discredit the truth, to discredit people like me, to discredit MSNBC. Oh, that's a liberal. That's lefty. That's it's the equivalent of Fox News, just on the left. Well, no. No, it isn't. Yes, they are progressive. But no, they don't make stuff up. They don't just make up lies. And there was a story, again, maybe I'll get to it a little bit later here, but there was a story out of Media Matters. The Media Matters has today. There's a leaker at Fox News. I think he's a former, he or she, I guess, is a former Fox News employee who is talking to Media Matters and telling them what goes on there and explaining that at Fox News, they just out and out make stuff up. That's what these guys do. And they make a lot of money for it. Those of us who don't make stuff up, those of us who try to tell the truth, it's harder to exist. We don't have those huge right-wing institutes that pay, you know, that give money to guys like James O'Keefe to go out and lie and smear and slime people and put together phony videos. And then, you know, and he's got a network, of course. As soon as James O'Keefe goes out and puts together his phony video and lies about it, he can just walk it right on over to Andrew Breitbart. He'll post it on the big right-wing website. Fox News will pick it up and run it 24 hours around the clock. That's what these guys do. That's what those guys do. That's what... You know, and they're not conservative. We talked about this a lot last night. I won't call them conservatives. They're not conservatives. They are right-wingers. They are Republicans. They don't give a damn about you. They don't give a damn about me. They don't give a damn about their fellow citizens. They give a damn about big business, corporations, bottom lines, and profits. And all the rest of you can go to hell. And that includes a lot of you folks in the Tea Party who have been tricked into believing that these people are your friends. They are not your friends. They are using you. They are using you to get into power. They are talking to you about conservative ideals that you might believe in. Yes, fiscal conservatism, rule of law, the Constitution. These all do sound very good, don't they? I think they do. Problem is, they don't mean it. They, that party, the Republican Party, does not mean it. Fox News does not mean it. They don't care about smaller government. They want big government. They want to intrude into your life. They want to get in between you and your doctor. That's why they're pushing all this abortion nonsense. They've tricked you into believing they are one thing. They've tricked you into believing they are one thing that is a good thing. But then they are not that good thing. They are the bad thing. In short, they are making fools out of you. Yes, I'm talking to you Tea Party folks. And if you disagree, you can feel free to call me and tell me. Because on this show, yes, we are fair. If we're not balanced, it's only because balance is BS meant to level the playing field for the bad guys. We won't do that. But we are fair, and we would love to hear from you at 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Whatever's on your mind, now's the time to Now is the time to get in. I've got some more thoughts, of course, on my friends at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who think it's just great to target me, my family, my home address. Why? Because I pointed out that they were criminals? Well, geez, I didn't point it out. You know, that's in the court papers. That's in the studies. You can look that up. They're so mean. Aren't they mean? Oh, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Great use of $2 million of our taxpayer money that you got from the bailouts. And oh, what a mess. Man, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Your calls and more straight ahead. 877-520-1150. Save the world with me. Glad to have you on my team. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Yeah, I'm watching you guys in the chat room. Thanks for the support. I really do appreciate it in there. The bradblog.com chat room, you can go on by and participate and disagree with them all you like. They're being very supportive in the wake of this this attack from the Chamber of Commerce. Not just on me, not just on my organization, velvetrevolution.us. And stopthechamber.com, but on me personally, and my family personally. Incredible. So I think Think Progress now has that email up that has been redacted by them. This disinfo campaign trying to discredit folks like me. Because we have the temerity to tell the truth. Because we call out you liars. We call out you America haters. Yes, I called you America haters, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, because you don't give a damn about this country. And that's okay. It's not your job to give a damn about this country. It's your job to look out for your corporation pals. And it's their job to look out for the shareholders. It's their job, period. Their fiduciary duty, their legal job to look out for the shareholders. It's not to create jobs. They are not the job creators. They are the profit makers. So we know that's what you do. And just because I called you out on it, so did Change to Win called you out on it. StopTheChamber.com called you out on it. Poor babies.
Well, let's go hire a firm and... they'll go discredit that Brad and his family.
What a bunch of wusses. 877-520-1150. Let's go to CJ in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, CJ.
CJ, how you doing,
CG,
Brad?
Sorry.
To you and yours.
Hey, I'm hearing... what's that modem sound I'm hearing?
Oh, sorry. Let me step away. I had my Sirius antenna up.
Are you... Are you working for the chamber? Are you one of those spies?
I call it the Chamber of Horrors.
Are you spying on me?
Hey, Brad, I call it the Chamber of Horrors. Yeah, they're nothing but the financial branch of the Rat Publican and the Fright Wing Party. You know, that's all they are. Just like Fox.
They are nothing
but the propaganda ministry for the Fright Wing Party, the Tea Party, which really doesn't exist and never has existed. There's never been any ballot in America that had Tea Party on it. They're just the psychotic wing of the Fright Wing.
Well, you know what? There were some. And CJ, I got to let you go just because you got that crazy fax phone.
Best regards.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Actually, they were real for a while. I do believe, whether I agree with them or not, I do believe that the people who were supporting Ron Paul back in 2007, who were calling themselves at that time Tea Partiers and who were decrying the Bush administration. No, they didn't wait until until a Republican lost and a Democrat won the White House. They were out there marching in the street years ago saying, yes, Bush is a war criminal. And they were saying it today, by the way. Ron Paul supporters were at the Conservative Political Action Committee conference in Washington, D.C., where Dick Cheney appeared. Yes, he's still alive. Anyway, Dick Cheney appeared, and they shouted him down, as at least the Ron Paul folks did. Shouted him. I don't think we had time to play it. Maybe we have to get back. But, yeah, we had time? Yeah? Yeah? No? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Play it. We got a minute. This was... There you go. That was the Conservative Political Action Conference today in Washington, D.C., where Dick Cheney made a surprise appearance, the surprise being that he's still alive or still undead, however you might want to look at it. And there they shouted out, and it's reported that they were Ron Paul supporters yelling out, "You're a war criminal!" Yes, he is a war criminal. Anybody out there in the media going to report it, or are we all just going to imagine that everything is fine and hunky-dory and roses and butterflies and unicorns? I'm going to report it, whether anybody likes it or not. 877, I'll get to you, I promise, I'll get to your calls next. 877-520-1150, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Delighted to be here. Delighted you're with us. We got another hour straight ahead. It's going to be a big, big hour. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay with us. Because it's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, journalist, and apparently now an enemy of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And I couldn't be prouder of it. It's too bad they're using so much of our taxpayer dollars to attack folks like me. $250 per hour is what Marcy Wheeler is mentioned tonight on Empty Wheel, if you know her from Fire Dog Lake. She mentioned that on the Twitters tonight, that this attack on me, my family, my home address, specifically targeted by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, in a anywhere from $200,000 to $2 million campaign, they were paying people $250 an hour to do it, said Marcy. Some idiot on Twitter getting rich off you. Yeah, well, I know I ain't getting rich off of anybody. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. And if you were listening on Green 960 up there in San Francisco just now, I do believe they just played our Green News report today. Our if you didn't get it, then call and ask your progressive radio station to add it. It's 6 minutes of independent green news analysis and snarky comment. Sometimes snarky comment about the Chamber of Commerce. Those guys, you know, they're not... I'm trying to figure out how to get this across to folks, you know, to folks who are on the right, who call themselves Republicans. We need a legitimate Republican Party. We don't have one. We have instead the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Party. We have folks who want to put you out of business, who will send your jobs to China, to Mexico, to India, to anywhere they can, to increase their profits and to tell you to go straight to hell. Why is it so difficult for folks in the supposed Tea Party to understand that. I'd love to know. Give me a call, 877-520-1150. If you think they're looking out for you, if you think Bill O'Reilly is looking out for you, is looking out for the folks, he ain't. Go read what they said over at what Eric Bollert reported today over at Media Matters about from a Fox News insider who says, quote, "I don't think people would believe it's as concocted as it is. That stuff is just made up," says the Fox News insider. "It is their MO to undermine the administration and to undermine Democrats. They're a propaganda outfit, but they call themselves news. They say one thing and they do another. They insist on maintaining this charade, this facade, that they're balanced or that they're not right-wing extremist propagandists. But it's a lie." But you guys knew that, didn't you? You can also stop by our chat room, where folks have been very supportive as well tonight, at bradblog.com. Our chat room is in there, and Desi Doyen and For Earth are holding things down, and there's a lot of really nice, really good, friendly folks in there. So please go say hello to them, and you can also say hello to me on Twitter at the Bradblog, where a bunch of folks have been also writing in tonight. Very supportive. Thanks, guys. I do appreciate it. And, here was one of the things, you know, this campaign that you can read about, Think Progress is reporting on it, where I'm named and my organization, StopTheChamber.com, is targeted. So I was talking to some of the folks who work at Velvet Revolution today. We are targeted, VelvetRevolution.us, so please support us and tell the Chamber of Commerce to go to hell. But anyway, I was talking to some of the folks over there when we began to learn about this today, and the fact that they were apparently the Chamber of Commerce was willing to pay $2 million to these quote unquote data intelligence firms to put out discrediting information, to put out fake documents, to infiltrate. Who do these guys think they are? How stupid? Anyway, one of the folks with VR, and I'm not going to name her name because apparently it's fashionable to target people standing up for the truth. But she said, "Hey, I think we should contact them and offer to spy on ourselves for a mere $500,000. That sounds like a plan. We would have done it. Chamber of Commerce, had you just asked, we would have spied on ourselves, giving you whatever you want. We've got no secrets. $500,000, we could use it. Could pay the rent this month. All right, here we go. Let's go to some phones. Steve in Austin, Texas. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Steve, what's on your mind, sir?
Oh, thank you, Brad. Good to hear from you. I like where you stand in occasionally for Malloy.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
About the Think Progress story,
yeah,
it's extremely alarming, especially, I'm sure, for you personally, but it's not really a surprise. Recent history. Oh, Dan Rather.
Yeah.
Didn't he receive a document, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
And then later reviled and fired for it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, sounds a lot like that, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like what they were talking about.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know about your age, but way back during the civil rights movement.
Well, apparently it's easy to find because I got my birth date, too. So you can find my birth date. Yeah.
I didn't go to that. But back in the civil rights struggle, Dr. King was also the victim of certain surprise documents and surprise revelations.
Yeah.
Same M.O.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible. But you anticipated one of my thoughts. You should wear it as a badge of honor for sure.
Okay. Well, it's...
But watch your back, man.
well, you know what? I listen,
people are really crazy.
Yeah, listen, I've been getting these death threats from, people all over the place for years, going, way back. I'm quite used to it. I do watch my back. But, the fact that they would go to such a concerted effort, that they would build this campaign, that they would hire three different firms, because anybody who's met me out there, and, you know, I do, I go out a lot. I talk about democracy and election reform, and anybody who's met me knows I'm a very, very scary guy. So it's understandable that they would need to. Hey, Steve, I appreciate your call, my friend, and we'll hope to see you in Austin. We get down there from time to time. Great city.
South by Southwest?
No. Well, I would say that I got family down there, but that'll probably target them, too. So no comment, Steve, but I hope to see you soon.
onward to the fog.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate your call. All right, let's go to Guy. Where am I here? How do I use these phones? He's just the replacement talk show host. Okay, there we go. Gary in Indianapolis. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Gary, what's on your mind, sir?
Hi, Brad. I just wanted to call and say your show is very entertaining.
Thank you.
And I was just wanting to know if you really believe that all Republicans are bad.
No.
Well, that's good to know, because I'm a Republican, and I understand that news today, and it doesn't matter what side it's on, as we both know, Fox leans right, CNBC and CNN, they lean left. That's all about entertainment.
No, sir. It's not. It's the news. You see, there's this thing called the U.S. Constitution. And in the U.S. Constitution, there's something called the freedom of press. They are the only industry named in the U.S. Constitution given special protection, special dispensation. And with that special protection, sir, comes responsibility. You can't just go and make things up. No, it is not about entertainment when you target people, when they get shot because, or when they get death threats, or when, you know, they get assassinated because you have been targeting them. That is not entertainment. It is not entertainment when you send a country to war over lies and BS and hundreds and thousands of people die because of this entertainment on the Fox News channel. It is not entertainment, Gary.
Brad, I agree with you on a lot of that. But
good.
Why do you think that CNN and CNBC, Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS hire very attractive people? It's about entertainment. These people are. It's about money and entertainment.
Yeah. It's about ratings. But that they need to have ratings. Okay.
No, I'm not saying that they don't deliver. But I'm saying it's about entertainment.
Okay, you have a responsibility. You can't just entertain people, no matter who it harms. And I don't even care if you're in the news business. You have a responsibility to be a citizen, to play nicely with others, to inform the public. And no, you can't just go out there and put out lies. And by the way, Gary, I'm not going to let you put out the false equivalency that Fox News is like CNN and CNBC and MSNBC. Yes, I'm happy to go after CNN and MSNBC frequently when they screw up, but they are not the same as Fox, which is a propaganda organization. Period.
I'm not arguing with that.
Okay.
Because I agree with that. They are. They're right leaning.
No. I didn't say they were right leaning. It's fine to be right leaning. I said they were a propaganda organization, Gary.
I don't doubt that at all.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't doubt that.
That's not right-leaning. I don't care if you're right-leaning. You're right-leaning. That's fine. But you're not a liar, I hope. As soon as you start lying, then you're not my friend.
Well, I'm not a liar. I'm a physician.
Good.
I can't lie.
Okay, good.
All right.
Good.
Because that would cost me my job.
Okay, good.
With my patients.
Good. Well, you know, okay. Comment, but yeah.
Another reason why I was calling was Indiana University, which is a very liberal school here in Indiana.
Yeah.
The Kelley School of Business had just done a research, and I was wanting to know, you know, the reason why I asked if you were against all Republicans is because they did a study regarding who gives more charitable donations.
Yeah, whatever. Gary, I got to get to a break. You're
afraid to answer that, aren't you?
No, because I didn't read the study. I don't know. I don't know, and
well,
I don't care. I'm glad that
you don't care because it shows that Republicans are pretty nice people and they care.
Who
about,
said they weren't?
They care about. Well,
I got to get to a break.
You're portraying them,
Gary. I'll address your question after the break. It's a hard break. Okay. I got to get to the clock. I do appreciate your call, sir. All right.
Thank you,
sir. All right. You're listening to Brad in for Mike Malloy. More of your call straight ahead, 520-11, 877-520-1150.
white skin.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you,
to say
hey,
what?
Girl, we couldn't get much higher.
All right.
Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Light my fire.
My fire is apparently easily lit tonight. Brad Friedman on The Mike Malloy Show. Mike will return next Monday. Yeah, we just had a caller who thought that I think all Republicans are evil or some such. I don't think they're evil at all. He pointed to a study at the University of Indiana, I think it was. I haven't read the study, saying that Republicans were more charitable. Okay. Yeah, fine. Haven't read the study. I don't know if that caller was listening to the show tonight and how it is that the guys like U.S. Chamber of Commerce will put out millions and millions of dollars and create all kinds of fake studies. Go over to bradblog.com if you want. Search for the name Jeffrey Milyo, M-I-L-Y-O. He's a professor who's apparently for hire. He'll create any study you want. Tell you anything you want. But anyway, let's assume you're right. Republicans are more charitable. Good for them. Delighted. Oh, well, not sure what the point is. I keep telling you, it ain't about right and left. It's about right and wrong. We were supposed to have one of my guests tonight was a Republican from South Carolina. I'm going to have him on tomorrow night, Frank Heindel. You can read about him at scvotinginfo.com. He's been out there. Making public records requests, demanding accountability for the voting system out there, the 100% unverifiable voting system that they use across the state of South Carolina. They also, by the way, sir, forgot your name, I think it was Art, they also use the unverifiable voting systems in your state. Pay attention. Do you care? I do. Anyway, Frank is a Republican, a businessman, a commodities trader. But he's been doing the right thing, and I can't wait to talk to him tomorrow. I've been working with Joe Miller and his people, for Christ's sakes, up there in Alaska, trying to help them in their election contest. I don't care if you're a Republican. I care if you do the right thing. And I wish more Republicans would understand that. Let me go to James in Mojave Valley, Arizona, Mojave Valley. Hey, James, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, I was listening to you talking about, what's right and what's wrong. You're correct on that matter. Now, you're setting up. You said that, you know, Fox was making up stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I watched Glenn Beck and O'Reilly every day.
Yeah.
And, Glenn Beck tells us, to go look it up for yourself.
Right.
He doesn't say. And so I decided to look up some stuff on Frances Fox Piven.
Because right.
Just like you, I had never heard of her.
Right.
And so
nobody has. Nobody has until he started targeting her and she started getting death threats on his website, The Blaze, which he kept up there for weeks and weeks. Yeah.
Okay. But when I looked it up, looked up her and her stuff, there's a website called discoverthenetwork.org, a guide to the political left.
Yeah, that's an AstroTurf website, you realize, right?
Oh, well, that has nothing to do with the information.
Yes, it does have everything to do with
Wait a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
It's the Cloward and Piven strategy.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, you look it up and... You know, it's collapsed the system by overburdening.
James, nobody ever heard of these people until Glenn Beck made them famous. Do you get that, James?
Them famous doesn't mean that he's right or wrong. He made them famous. And
all right, James, more of you after this break. You're listening to Mike Malloy. Oh, I hung up on him. I did not mean. Call back, James. Brad in for Mike. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Under siege and in command here on the Mike Malloy Show, 877-520-1150. I accidentally hung up on James. He was kind enough to call us back from Mojave Valley, Arizona, I think it is. So, James, you were talking about the fact that Glenn Beck says, go look it up. And you'll find the truth when you pointed to this Cloward and Piven strategy, which is apparently an article that she wrote. When was that written?
1966, it said.
Woo! Oh, man. That's a danger. She's a menace to society, yes?
But she also kind of resurrected it in a recent article in The Nation.
What? What? She wrote an article in The Nation? And what did she say in that article, James?
Let's see. I got it up. It starts with, it has one paragraph. The second paragraph says, yeah. So where are the angry mobs, the demonstrations, the sit-ins, the unruly mobs? Mm-hmm. After all, the injustice is apparent. Yeah. Working people are losing their homes and their pension while robber baron CEOs report renewed profits and windfall bonuses.
Right.
Shouldn't the unemployed be on the march?
Yeah. When do we get to the violent revolution part?
I didn't say anything about violent revolution.
Oh, but Glenn Beck did. Didn't he?
Didn't he, James? Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, okay, he did. He said that Francis Fox Piven, who nobody ever heard of other than Glenn Beck, called for violent revolution to start the new year. In return, after he posted that on his Blaze website, she received one death threat after another. Now, you just read what I guess was the most damning part of the article that says absolutely
not.
Oh, there's more?
No, I didn't read the whole article.
James, listen, I understand. And you said to our call screener that you were a Tea Partier, right?
Yes,
I am. You are on the march. You are the people that she was talking about in the paragraph that you just read. Do you not get that, James?
I kind of get it, but my government is not listening because they're making my government bigger. And I don't want my government bigger.
Why not?
I want my government smaller.
Why not?
Because I'm an adult. I can do the things, some of the things that the
government
wants
to do. You don't want your government to help this country get back to work? And by the way, James.
The government can't put me back to work.
Of course the government can. Do you know anything about history, James?
I just lost my job. And the government didn't come over here and tell me, hey, James, I got a job for you.
Are you collecting unemployment? James, are you collecting unemployment?
Not yet.
Are you going to? Yeah.
I don't know because I'm currently looking for a job.
Are you going to collect unemployment, James?
If I don't get a job, yes.
You are.
But that's unemployment insurance.
You're going to let the government get bigger. James, sorry. Pay attention.
You are being played, my friend. Job.
All right. Good.
I'm looking for
meantime, you will get unemployment, which is that big government program you heard about. You're being played, James. I got to go, pal.
It's not permanent, though.
It's not permanent for anybody, you knucklehead. I got to go, James. Pay attention. You're being played. And they're taking advantage of guys like James. He seems like a nice fellow, but that's what happens when you watch propaganda. That's what happens when you watch Fox News. They make you think that you're on their side, that they're on your side, that they don't like big government. This after they supported $1.3 trillion Medicare thing under Bush. This after $3 trillion wars under Bush. They didn't care about smaller government back then, and they still don't care about it now. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trying to come between you and your doctor to decide which medical care you can and can't get. Do you guys not get this? You don't. And I understand. Because when you're in a cult, and that's what folks who believe in Fox News believe, when you're in a cult and you have been brainwashed, it is not easy to become unbrainwashed. I do understand. But I am. here to help. Craig in Napa, California. What's on your mind, Craig?
Hi, Brad. Hey, I think, well, have you been to journalism school?
No, sir.
Okay, well, you know, I know a lot of people in your business and people you know have, and they, and you probably know the basic, I don't know, tenets or whatever of journalism.
Yes, sir.
How it works, credibility,
yeah.
How to source things and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think if people, you know, knew some of this, they would understand what how to tell propaganda from... Or at least discover whether it's credible or not.
Look, here's the thing, Craig. These people are being played 24/7, and not just on Fox News. And we're going to talk about this, I hope, tomorrow night with Sue Wilson. They're being played on AM talk radio 24/7 around the clock. As I've pointed out many times, more people listen to one episode of Rush Limbaugh in a day than listen to all of Fox News at night. And that is on our broadcast airwaves. Those they are using our resources to propagandize this nation, and the Democrats aren't doing a goddamn thing about it. It's insane.
I agree with you.
It's insane. And, sorry.
But
go ahead.
You got to have faith in the people because
I do.
People, we all want the truth.
Yeah.
Whether and you know, and I'm with you. I agree with everything, you know, you talk about and stand for and work toward. And this is the whole point. It's our obligation to work for a better world.
Yes.
So when people say, well, it's just entertainment, ask them, is that your values? Is that what you want?
I hear you, brother. Well, we got to get to them, you know, one caller at a time, one person at a time, which is why
right.
I say, you know, you don't need to, your enemies are not the Tea Party. Your enemies are the liars and cheats and rapscallions who created the phony Tea Party, who funded it, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Koch Industries, the people who are attacking me tonight with a $2 million campaign. Craig, I got to get to another call.
Right on.
I appreciate
Thanks.
Your call. All right. Let's see. Where are we here? Ray. Oh, Ray. In Oakdale, Minnesota. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Ray. What's
Brad,
on your mind?
Hey, Brad. How
hey,
are you?
I'm okay.
Good. And I'm glad that you and Michael are good friends. With all, I like to say, overdue and unlimited respect, I think we got to get beyond, way, way beyond the whole liberal thing. I think, you know, liberals have contributed a lot in the past, but I'm coming at you, Brad.
Ray, what do you mean get beyond the whole liberal thing? Who mentioned the word liberal at all tonight?
Well, I mean, I didn't hear all of your program. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, but no, what I'm trying to say is, can we get past the whole Democrat Republican thing? We need.
You didn't listen to my show, or I've been talking about this all week. Go to bradblog.com. I got the archives. I don't give a damn. I've said over and over. I don't give a damn about liberal conservative. It's a phony paradigm.
Good,
red
good,
blue
good.
Republican Democratic. It's all a phony paradigm meant to divide you and me.
Yeah. Can I just
yes.
get this said, Brad, and then I'll let you go.
Go ahead.
I'm founder and director of an organization called Kalpuli Turtle Island Multiversity. That's Kalpulli.
Uh-huh.
And it's an Aztec word, Brad. It means community.
Yeah.
And you can visit our website at kalpulli@drupalgarden.com.
Okay. All right. What will we quickly, why do we need to visit there, Ray?
Well, because our goal is to basically see this nation reinvented along indigenous and ecological lines,
mm-hmm.
and to move out of the, you know, our addiction to war, our addiction to exceptionalism, the recurring sort of metastasizing cancer of the far right.
Mm-hmm.
The American people have got to grow up. I'm advocating, Brad, the overthrow of Manifest Destiny.
Okay.
Which is still in force, by
All
the
right.
way.
All right. And I appreciate the work you're doing, sir. And and I'm sorry for snapping at you about the. I don't care about the right. Okay, good.
No, I didn't get the sense that you snapped at me. But I'm calling for Brad.
You can't tell me because I got to go to a break, Ray.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
We got to emulate Egypt.
I hear you, man. That is what democracy looks like. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Yeah. Emulate Egypt. Stand up for your rights. That sounds nice to me. Brad in for Malloy. Your calls straight ahead.
I can walk out. 'Cause I love you too much, babe. Why are there so many songs about rainbows, and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions.
My thanks tonight to our great engineer Tony Sorrentino here at K-Talk AM 1150 in Los Angeles. Also to producer, call screener, and chat room hostess Desi Doyen, who is co-hosting the chat room today, once again tonight with For Earth. For Earth, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. My thanks, as always, to my guests tonight, Lisa Hajar and Tom Tomorrow, and especially, of course, to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit behind their big old microphone. Until they're back next Monday. Tomorrow, by the way, we'll have, I hope, pending what happens in Egypt, Frank Heindel talking about South Carolina and the 100% unverifiable voting they have out there and that most of you have across much of this country. Also, Sue Wilson on media and returning the airwaves to the people who actually own them. That would be you and me. 877-520-1150 is our number. Oh, and by the way, if you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid, even though he's on that cruise with Malloy as well. John Fox, I'm told, will be sitting in for him tonight. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Welcome to the Malloy Show, Mark. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Brad. What's on my mind tonight is, you know, the Koch brothers and the American Chamber of Commerce and Fox, you know, they like making people targets. But, you know, they're a target themselves, and they make themselves a target. I'm not advocating violence, but, you know, demonstrations.
Please don't.
Or whatever it takes. But, you know, they're out there, too. We know what these cockroaches are. So if anything.
Well, look, I don't even want to give the impression that they should be targeted in any way, shape, or form. What I would like to, though, is for our tax dollars to stop going to them. And I would be delighted to see an Egypt-style, you know, demonstration outside the Chamber of Commerce. I would love to see all the truckers from around this nation come on by and surround that building so that they can't get in or out, frankly. The folks who called in, Will the Trucker the other day, said that he had been awakened in listening to our broadcasts here this week and that he wanted to call out the convoy. Call him out. Stand up. Stand up for your rights. Stop these bad guys, you know, by letting them know who's in charge. No, not by targeting them. That's the way that they play, and they're sick puppies.
I don't mean target, you know. I mean exactly the way you say. Will the Trucker had a great suggestion. I mean, go after them in a peaceful but forceful manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm against violence, but we need to take action again. These are the people that are destroying the country.
Well, here's how you can do it. One way you can start is you can go to stopthechamber.com, and you can donate to that effort. And yes, it's an organization that I helped co-found, by way of disclosure, since I believe in it. Even if the U.S. Chamber of Commerce doesn't. You can also go to U.S. Chamber Watch, which is by Change to Win, one of the other groups that has been targeted by Glenn Beck. You can support those groups. You can support the independent media, thinkprogress.org. You know, these people who are telling the truth about these insidious folks. So, yeah, I hear you. No, they shouldn't be targeted in any way physically, you know, violently or anything like that. Their personal addresses, the way they've done to me. But, you know, support the people who are taking them on with facts, with truth, with rule of law, with accountability, with all of those things that the Tea Party folks are told to believe in and should believe in. And they, the Tea Party, should be the one demonstrating outside the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, because it is the Tea Party, the real folks, the rank and file, the grassroots, the real grassroots, not the ones, you know, who are put up to it. They're the ones who are being screwed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So, yes, America, yes, Tea Party, I am standing with you against the people who are working against you, and that's folks like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Well, it's basically 2% against the rest of us.
Yep.
And that's how we have to look at it.
Yeah,
we're fighting the 2% in this country that want all the money and all the greed and leave us with nothing. So we're all in the same fight. We just have to make people aware that we are. That's all.
And the same thing is true in Egypt. And they figured it out, and they stood up for it. And they didn't just stand up for it. They stood up, and they stayed. And they didn't leave. And they didn't go home when it got dark and when it got violent. And they were willing to give. They gave up 300 lives, approximately, out there. They were also fighting against the 2%. You know, when I was on my way over here, Mark, I heard someone say, what did they say, that it took decades to get to where they are, but over the past week, there's been decades of change. Sometimes it comes that quickly, but only when you stand up for it. Mark, I got to run.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Okay, let me get to Mike in L.A. There we go. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Molloy Show. I only got about 30 seconds for you, I'm sorry to say.
That's cool. Hi, Rev.
Hey.
It's interesting, this tactic by the Chamber of Commerce, and it would be interesting to see who thought of it and see if they were also involved in the exact same tactic used against Dan Rather.
Mm. Well, yeah, it certainly does sound
falsified
familiar.
Documents.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, yeah. Or it sounds like you know, something that they could have learned from the Dan Rather incident. Because ultimately, we don't know if what Dan Rather put out was a forgery or not, because nobody, the Bush White House had never come out and said, oh, that was untrue.
But it certainly seemed like it was a setup. A forgery then,
yeah.
To get him tossed.
Clearly, these guys will lie, will cheat, will scam. A caller called in and said, hey, Brad, I want you to call the Chamber of Commerce the Chamber of Cheaters. Because that is what they are. Yes, they will do anything they have to, because the truth
they
is not on
dangerous.
The truth is not on their side, Mike. It's on yours and mine, and they don't like that.
Yeah.
Most
definitely. Thanks for being.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate your call. Man. Okay. Let's get to who else do we have? Do we have time? Maybe. Can you make it really fast, Sam in L.A.? I'm sorry to give you not enough time. I'm trying to get everybody in as I can. Sam,
welcome
to the show.
How are you doing, Brad? You're doing great.
Out. Thanks.
Fantastic show. I just heard this story about Suleiman personally torturing someone. Did you hear about that? Did you already cover that?
Yeah, we talked about it at the top of the show.
Oh, you did. I missed it. Okay.
But you can. We will have the archives of the show up at bradblog.com late tonight, so you can hear the entire thing. That is, if you're not already a supporter of the podcast, the MikeMolloy.com podcast, which you should be, because that's good. That's independent media that we need to support. But you can also go to JADmagazine.com to read Lisa Hajjar. She was our guest in the first hour. Her story on Omar Suleiman, the CIA's man in Cairo.
Yes, exactly.
We had her on. Hey, thanks, Sam. I appreciate it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Brad.
You bet. Keep making noise out there, people. And that goes for everyone. Support your independent media. Support MikeMolloy.com. Support StopTheChamber.com. Support U.S. Chamber Watch. Think Progress. And BradBlog.com. This is your country. You can take it back. These bad guys don't have to win unless you let them. Brad Friedman for Mike Molloy. I'll be at BradBlog.com till tomorrow. See ya.